Samach Gimel Amid Beis, Tana Rabbanan. This is about 12 lines, 10 lines down from the top. Shenichnisu Rabbosenu Lekerem B'Yavne. So that's what we're up to. And the Gemara is going to talk about a concept here called Poschim B'Chvod Achsanu. So there was an achsanya in Kerem B'Yavne. The Chachamim were hosted in the place of Moshav Sanhedrin B'Yavne. And who was there in the group? Hayisham, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer, B'Noshal, Rabbi Yossi Aguil. So these are the Chachamim. And each one is going to be Poseach B'chvod Achsanya. Poschu kulam B'chvod Achsanya. So they all opened up with something, perhaps a drosha, a Dvar Torah, a diuk, a drosha, in honor of their hosts, who the householders of Yavne, who took the scholars of Yavne into their homes. And this you'll see in Rashi here. Rashi says, "B'chvod achsanya machnisei orchim bebatim." Okay. Pasach Rav Yehuda, Rosh HaMedavrim. He was the first one to speak. It has something to do with the fact that he was the representative of the Jewish people to the Romans, so he was recognized by the Romans as the Rosh HaMedavrim, and this is based on a Gemara in Shabbos. So he had spoken favorably of the Roman regime when others had spoken unfavorably. He was accorded, therefore, the privilege of always being the first one to speak. Okay. Well, let's see what he says. Moshe. So this is a pasuk in Shmos, Perek Lamed Gimel. Moshe Yikach Es Ha'Ohel. Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting, and it was that all seekers of Hashem would go out to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. So these are the events following the Cheta Egel, and HaKadosh Baruch had already decreed that the people would not enter Eretz Yisrael, but he'd send the Malach instead. And Moshe viewed this distancing from HaKadosh Baruch as a kind of a nidui. And he sort of imitated HaKadosh Baruch, and he would distance himself from Klal Yisrael, pitch his tent outside the Machna. So all who wished to study Torah with him would have to go Chutz L'Machna. He says here that Mishum Shes Asfu Shom HaTalminim Dibru B'Chashivus Lomdei HaTorah. Since they gathered together for the purpose of Talmidei Chachamim being together, they would start with Limud Torah. Chashivus, they would speak about the Chashivus of Limud Torah. Kadeshi Yikarvu Osam HaBalabatim. And I guess the Balabatim were eager to hear the Torah, and they would host the people. And Kvod Lomdei HaTorah is Kvod Achsanya. Shum shezchusam shal tamidei chachamim So the more, I guess, you indicate the significance of Torah, then in Mela, you're also indicating the Mila, the greatness of those who are Machzikei Torah, those who are supporting the Torah studies. So Moshe Rabbeinu here in this pasuk was Marchik, his Ohel, outside the Machna, and Valodvarim Kalvachomer. Uma Aaron Hashem Shaloya Meruchak. It doesn't say in the pasuk that Moshe took the Aaron outside the Machna. So apparently, the Aaron itself was left inside the Machna. Now, I'm not sure. Let's see if he says what the Shneimasar Mil is. Let's just see. So the distance from their homes to the Aron, was 12 Mil. That's based on a Gemara in Erevin that the Machne Yisroel is 12 by 12 Mil, and the farthest anyone would need to walk to visit the Ol Moed would be 12 mil. A mil is the equivalent of 2,000 amos, somehow between 3,000 and 4,000 feet. The Ark of Hashem mentioned here is obviously not the one that would later be placed in the Mishkan, since Moshe had not yet even been commanded to build the Aron. Rather, it refers to the Aron in which Moshe Rabbeinu placed the Shivei Luchos. Omra, the Torah says, "V'hoya kol mevakish Hashem yetze el ol moed." So those who went out to the ol moed, they were called the mevakshei Hashem, seekers of Hashem. They would go out to the tent of meeting. Now we get to the Kal Vachomer. Talmidei Chachamim shaholchem meir leir mitina l'mitina lilmod Torah. So the scholars who traveled great distances from city to city, from province to province, in order to study Torah, much more so they can be called Mevakshei Hashem. But if at the time of the Old Moed, the Mevakshei Hashem only went out for 12 mil, which we said, if each meal is 2,000 amma, so multiply that by 12, they are called Mevakshei Hashem, and most of the Talmidei Chachamim who go from city to city and province to province in order to study Torah, how much more so we can call them Mevakshei Hashem. So Rabbi Yehuda was praising the Torah scholars in the presence of the people of Yavne. And we can only imagine that the people felt very good about the fact that they were hosting and supporting the Talmidei Chachamim. Now we're going to continue the darshan this pasuk about the Divrei Hashem al Moshe the Ol Moed. So once the Gemara brings the first part of the pasuk, which is relevant to poskim b'chvod Hasanya, the Gemara continues to darshan this pasuk. It says the following: Vidaber Hashem, v'diber Hashem el Moshe, ponim el ponim. Okay, so this pasuk, Lamed Gimel, pasuk Aleph in Shmos, Moshe pitched his tent outside the camp. Now the pasuk describes the procedure he would follow when receiving the ruah from Hashem. He would leave the camp, and all would rise as he passed. When he would reach the tent, a pillar of cloud would descend and stand at its entrance, at the entrance to the oil. And Hashem would speak to Moshe. And then the pasuk says, "V'diber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim, kasher yidaber ish el re'ehu, v'shav el ha'machane, u'meshar so yishuv ben nun, nar lo yomesh mitoch ha'ohel." So the way Hashem would speak to Moshe is called panim el panim. And now Rabbi Yitzchak has a drosha. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Moshe, ani v'ata nazbir panim behalacha. Which literally means, Moshe, let us, I and you, show one another a kindly face in the studying of the law. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, the pshuto shel mikra, panim el panim, cannot be taken literally, because later on Hashem tells Moshe that he cannot observe the face of Hashem, lo yiras panai. So Rabbi Yitzchak therefore interprets the verse differently. These are the words that Hashem spoke to Moshe. Panim el panim means Hashem spoke to Moshe, let us be face to face, let us show one another a kindly face. And apparently this is based on the Gemara in Masechet Tainis, on Daf Ches, that one cannot acquire Torah unless the teacher, the Rebbe, shows him a kindly face. The same is true in Moshe's case. Therefore, in studying the Torah with Moshe, God took care to show him a kindly face, i.e., to relate to him with his full measure of kindness. For had Hashem hidden his face by withholding his kindness, Moshe could not receive the Torah. And now Moshe, if he had not been shown the face of Hashem by demonstrating his readiness, so Moshe on the other side has to also show a kindly face, because if not, he's not demonstrating his readiness to accept the spiritual gift being bestowed upon him. And it would be impossible for Hashem to have taught him Torah. Because the God's relationship with man is a perfect synchronization with man's relationship to him. So by Moshe showing Hashem a willing and kindly face, could Hashem in turn impart the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu? Now we have another lishna. Kach amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, kishem shani esbarti lecha ponim, kach atah hasber ponim liYisrael v'hachzer ha'ol l'mekomo. So this was Hashem's way of telling Moshe to return his tent into the center of the camp, because if you remain chutz l'machne, that's not ponim. That's on Hezber Ponim, right? Ponim Asbiros, but on the contrary, that's already Ponim Zoaphos. It would be indicative of the fact that you are angry at him, and then at them, and that people would not open their hearts to study Torah. So you too have to show Israel a kindly face, return the tent to its proper place in the center of the camp. And the words panim el panim, now Hashem was demanding from Moshe, panim el panim, that Moshe learned from Hashem that since Hashem showed him a kindly face in teaching Torah, he too must show the Jewish people a kindly face, overcome his anger towards them, and move his tent back into the camp. And the pasuk says, v'shav El Hamachne, Umashosa Yeshua Vinu Lo Yomish Mitocha Oel, Omar of Yavo, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to threaten Moshe. Achshav Yomru, the people are going to think that Harav Bekas, Vitalmid Bekas, in other words, by leaving the camp, the people say that the master is angry, and the disciple is angry. Because not only is Hashem the master angry because of Chet HaEgel, but Moshe the disciple also shows us anger by removing his tent from the camp, which is in fact true because that's Hashem. Moshe was imitating HaKadosh Baruch, who said that he would send a Malach with him. Im atomach zira ol l'mkomo mutav. Here's the threat. Hashem says to Moshe, you better return to the camp, because if not, im lav yoshu binun talmidcha mishoris tachtecha. Hashem threatened to remove Moshe from his position, and Yoshua would replace him, and Moshe would have to give up the leadership. Behind the chesiv, and that's what it says, v'shov el ha-machne, return to the camp. This is not just a testimony to the fact that Moshe did this, it's also a command to Moshe to return the tent to the camp. And Moshe heard this order and he returned to the camp. If you understand this pasuk kipshuto, then first it describes Hashem's manner of speaking with Moshe, then Moshe, and then it speaks of Moshe's return to the camp, finally tells us of the devotion of Moshe's servant Yoshua. However, Rabbi Avoh finds this interpretation difficult, since the verses, three clauses, and Hashem would speak and he would return and his servant, appear to have absolutely no connection with one another. Why are they joined together in this verse? Therefore, he interprets that all three clauses are a single statement to Moshe. The words, panim el panim, face to face, are a command to show the Jews a kindly face. The words, v'shav el machne, and he would return to the camp, are now viewed as a command and return to the camp. And the final clause, u'mishasa yeshua binun, lo yomesh mitocha oil, is a kind of a threat to Moshe that if he doesn't return to the main part of the camp, then Hashem will replace him and Yoshua will become the leader of Klal Yisrael. Omar Rava, afal pichen, even though Moshe actually returned his ohel back to the machne after HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misratza to Yisrael and the Mishkan was built, lo yotza hadavar levatola, that threat which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had expressed did not turn out to be in vain. And we have a principle, the Gemara on Shabbos says, me'olam lo yotza mida tova mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chazav olara. And therefore Yoshua the Masharis would be the replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Moshe's career. And eventually Yoshua succeeded Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader of the Jewish people, because once Hashem issues a favorable decree, he doesn't withdraw it. So although the condition of Yoshua's succession, that Moshe remains outside the Machne, was never met, it never came to pass, nevertheless Hashem did not violate his promise that Yoshua would in fact be Moshe Rabbeinu's successor. And it's interesting because the pasuk says, "U'mesharsa Yoshua benu nar lo yomesh mitocha ohel." What that means is that Yoshua is the disciple par excellence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this pasuk is completely Hashem's word to Moshe from beginning to end. The ode, and furthermore, Pasach Rabbi Yehuda b'chvod haTorah v'dorash. And here, this is a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael b'Avasmov at the end of his career, at the end of Sefer Dvarim, Haskeis Ushma Yisrael, which literally translates as pay heed, Haskeis pay heed, and listen, Yisrael. Hayom hazeh yesa la'am, on this day you become a nation. Vechi osu ayom nitna Torah liYisrael. In other words, the day in which Klal Yisrael received the Torah, that's the day that they became a nation. As it says in Shmos Perek Vav, V'lakachti Yaschem, we were on. And the Rabban says, V'boachem el har Sinai t'kablu haTorah. And then it becomes V'yisem liSkula. Then we become a nation. So it doesn't seem to make sense that 39 years later, at the end of Moshe's career, that's when they became a nation. So what does it mean, Ayom HaZen Yisrael on? That was at the end of his career, at the end of the period of 40 years in the Midbar. That every day a Jew's love for Torah makes it as if this is the day he received it for the first time in Har Sinai. And this pasuk, Haskei Sushma, was said by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Konim Levim. It says, "Vaydaber Moshe Vakon Valim Haskei Sushma Yisrael Ayom Hazen Yisrael Alam." And they were for sure lomdei Torah, as it says, "Yoreh Mishpatech LeYakov V'Torasal Yisrael." This is a blessing to the Kohanim and Levim. L'kach amru hayom keivan shechaviva aleihem haTorah ki yom shenitna. So the Torah is dear to us, to those who study it, as if it was given today on Har Sinai. Now he writes here a note that the fact is the entire book of Devarim was not spoken by Moshe until the end of Yisrael's 40-year sojourn in the wilderness when they were at Arvos Moav. How then could Moshe Rabbeinu say at that moment that Israel had just become a nation when in fact they had attained nationhood so many years before at Har Sinai? And we know that Klal Yisrael had attained full status as a nation on Har Sinai because the Torah says, "Lukachti lachem Eschem liwi am," as we mentioned earlier. So this is Rabbi Yehuda's presentation at the Achsanya, Poskim v'Chvod Achsanya. Gemara now brings a support for Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of this pasuk. Amar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Tanchum, Breid Rav Chia Ish Kfar Akko, Teda. In other words, you should know that the people of Israel hold the Torah in such high regard. Sharei Adam Korei Kriyat Shema Shachris V'Arvis V'Erev Echanein Korei. If he misses one, he's very dedicated to recite Kriyat Shema on a regular basis, twice a day. But if he misses one evening, Dome Kemishlo Korei Kriyat Shema Me'olam. It's when you hold the Torah so dear, then if you miss even one day of Torah, it's as if lo kara kriyat shma me'olam. In kriyat shma, it's like he didn't read kriyat shma at all. So neglecting to recite kriyat shma on one evening is a bittul of a mitzvah doraisa. But one would not expect someone who meticulously performs this mitzvah each and every day to appear as if he had never performed the mitzvah just because he missed one evening. But rather, the reason for viewing someone this way is because a Jew holds the Torah so precious, they treat it as if they had just then been privileged to receive it, and he has to perform this for the first time. And if he fails to do so, he cannot console himself with the thought that he has not done his duty. If this is how the people react in regard to the recitation of Kriyat Shema, which is only a partial or a minimum form of Torah study, how much more so would they feel with regard to more intensive forms of Torah study? He says, "Gam b'Kriyat Shema kosev hayom." It says, "V'ayu dvar ma'ilah shenoch mitzavcha hayom." And Rashi says, "Shlo yu beinecha ki geres yishana shein onem sofna el kechadosh shakol rotzim lekros." It's like a new scroll, a new letter that you read for the first time. And this person, shlo kar kriyat shma erev echad, he missed one evening. Harer ki yu lo kar kriyat shma biolam. Why? Shekevan shlo kiyat mashenemar ba shitzark shetia kechadosha. Bekach she'estaneich al hamira shel haboker, as he relied on this morning, or yesterday's kriyat shema. So he doesn't have the attitude that it's a brand new mitzvah. You know, he's falling back on the old mitzvah that he was mekayim, the old kriyat shema. And therefore, nechshav kilo kiyam mitzvah. It's considered as if his kiyam mitzvah was imperfect. Now the Gemara goes back to this pasuk haskes with a new drasha. Haskes, we're going to take apart this haskes as ayin shin and then chaf tav. And the ayin shin means asu, and then you're left with kat. Kat means a unit. And what is the message here? Asu kitos kitos vi isku b'torah. You should have groups of Torah study, seminars, so to speak. Lefisha ein haTorah nikneis el b'chavura. The Torah is studied with companions, groups, and not as a lone effort. Kidrav Yossi Rav Chanina. And this reflects the statement of Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. Dom Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, my dechsiv. What does it mean? Poskin Yerio Anodhi. Cherev al habadim vino olu. Let's translate this literally. There will be a sword against those who are alone. Vino alu. He says here, Pirush, Lufi Pshuta Shetova, Cherev Larog Esa Kosmin. Shebodim dvar mi liban. These are the sorcerers. The sword will v'lo yedu rabe yinatsu. Cherev al soneim shel talmidei chachamim. He doesn't want to say chasham al talmidei chachamim. Al soneim shel talmidei chachamim. The sword will be against them. She yoshvim bad bebad v'oskim b'torah. That they sit each one alone and engage in the study of Torah. So after this euphemism about the enemies of the Torah scholars, who is going to be punished over here? This evil omen, so to speak. This is going to be those who sit alone and they don't engage in Torah study. Flo'od, and furthermore, not only that, not only those who study alone, but Elisha mitavshin, nasim tipshin machmas shalom dubekach. They become foolish. They err in their rulings, and they misunderstand the Torah because they learn by themselves without a chavrus atos mitzuya ba'adam shalomed yechivim. Mashenkin belimit shal rabim echad yite yamideu chavero al ta'uso. So how much great it is when we have many people learning together. Ksiv hacha, it says with regard to a Talmud Chacham who's learning Torah but alone, vino olu. So we have this possum vino olu. So we try to figure out what vino olu means. Ksiv hasam. And in the case of Tzaras of Miriam, after she spoke Lashon Hara Moshe at the end of Parashas Va'alos, it says Vayomer Aaron el Moshe, Bi Adoni al no tashis olenu chatos asher no olnu asher chatonu. They should be mochel, our behavior, betipshus. We behaved very stupidly when we spoke about you. Ukmosha sham no olnu, shame no olnu, hu losham tipshus. So we see that the word no olnu is a language of foolishness. Asher no olnu means that we have acted foolishly. So we see that Na'oldu refers to becoming foolish. And all this is a result of the fact that people are learning alone and not bechavus of Elohod. And furthermore, another evil, so to speak, that will befall them, Elishachotin, they're considered like sinners. Shenemar Vasher Chaton. So it says Na'oldu, which is foolishness, and then it says Chaton, that the Tifshus is going to bring us to a state of chet. So he writes here that the juxtaposition of foolishness and sin, Asher Na'oldu Asher Chatanu, teaches that those who we described above, who are learning separately alone, are foolish and are sinners as well. The sin is associated with those who study Torah. But Ibai said, we could learn it from somewhere else, from Pasuk Yishayahu Novi, No'alu Sore Tsoan Hisu Es Mitzrayim. Which means, again, the word No'alu, the prophet states regarding the ultimate downfall of Egypt, the nobles of Tsoan have become foolish, they have led Egypt astray. So we see that going astray, which is the same as sinning, Na'oldu is associated with sin. It says here that halimu mikach na'oldu sorei tsoan nasu sorei nof. Nasu is miloshen chet, like hanocha shasiani. So yidei tifshusam shol sorei tsoan bo sorei nof lidei chet. Dover Acher Haskeis Ushma Yisrael. Kitted, again the word Chof Tov. Kitted, Katatu Atzmechem. You know, make yourselves into Ketusim, which means to cut yourself down. One second. Grind yourself, he translates it, over the words of Torah. Exert yourself to the utmost in order to acquire the words of Torah. Again, as we said, putting the emphasis here on the word, on ash, making yourself, and kat. Kat means here grinding yourself. So this means you have to be mitzar yourself on divrei Torah in order to make sure that the Torah remains your Torah and you don't lose it. The words of Torah only retained the Elvisha name is Atzmo Oleha, someone who's willing to kill himself over the Torah. The Torah of a man who dies in a tent. And this pasuk in its context teaches us that a corpse, a dead body of a mess will transmit tumor to the people, food, utensils, all which share the same roof. And it's part of a larger passage that details the manner in which a corpse spreads tumor. The procedure which is by which the tumor is removed. But the whole parsha begins with Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the law of the Torah. And this seems superfluous. So why does it say this is the law of the Torah? And the answer is to teach us that Amemis Atzmo, that the Torah is miskayim only in someone who is willing to kill himself in Torah. It means Mesiris Nefesh. Tover Acher, another possible pshat in the word Haskes. Haskes Ushma Yisrael. Has, which means Shesok, be quiet, be silent. I'll take your kushos on mashatolomid ashiyu advarim shgurim beficha heitev. And people sometimes jump to God and they start asking questions prematurely, but really they should wait until they've already digested the Torah. It's shogur beficha v'yakach kaseis, and then You could ask all sorts of kashas. Then you could grind, so to speak, grind up the Torah Keter Rava. Like the statement of Rava, Lolo Yilmar Adam Torah. And then after it's Shigura Befiv, Yakach Yeh. Then he can analyze it. First, you have to get an overview of the halacha, of the sugya, whatever you're learning. You get a grasp on it. And then you're ready to grind it up, so to speak. You'll be ready to analyze it in depth. So he writes in the footnote, be silent and pay heed to the lesson until you are fluent in the text of the Gemara. And even if you do not understand its meaning perfectly, after it's grinded up, ask your questions, the questions that trouble you, seek answers for them, and analyze the Gemara. If you do otherwise, if you analyze the Gemara while it's still being taught to you, you may miss some of the teacher's words, and he may not be available later to fill you in on what you missed. But again, I would say something more fundamental, that if you're premature at asking questions, then the questions are just simply, you know, inappropriate, because until you understand something, you're oriented, your questions are not going to be tzumzach, as we say, to the point. Now he says that mitchila, on the first level, eino ma'ayin b'talmud, he's not ready to analyze his Talmud. Yesh alumah mirava kol mashiach, v'lo yis'akev ma'ayin b'davar. And after he understands and he maybe reviews it a few times, then he's ready to ask kashas.
That's a very difficult.
Yeah, that's what I find in teaching here. It's, I'm ready to be.
I didn't say anything.
He says in the Academy of Rav Yamne, Maidich Siv, another drasha about Limud Torah. And here we quote a pasuk in Mishlei, Kimitz Cholov. Yotzi chema, the squeezing of milk yields butter. Umitz af, yotzi dam. I mean, that part is difficult. The squeezing of anger yields blood. Umitz apayim, yotzi riv. And the squeezings of double anger yield dispute. B'mi atamotzi chema shel Torah. So this pasuk is referring to Torah, and perhaps Chema Shel Torah is the highest level when you could already be Mora or Ra, you could teach Torah and rule in Torah, and milk, when it reaches its most Chelek HaMuvchar, its most developed state, it's Chema. And who is such a person? This pasuk wants to address that question. B'misha meki cholav sheyonak mishtei imo oleha. Shemotzi es hacholav shematzatz Mishteimu al divrei Torah. In other words, he spits out all of his pleasures, you know, his desire for pleasure, and he's ready to dedicate himself to Torah study. Motzi sachol shemotzi shteimu, and then he's zocha to chema shel Torah, to the butter of Torah. So basically, we're talking about a person who expends his very essence in the pursuit of Torah. The squeezing of his mother's milk yield the butter of Torah. Butter of Torah is a metaphor for Torah on its highest level, like horas haTorah. One must extract from his mother's milk chema, from his learning, he gets to the level of horah. Okay. Now let's dash to the next part of the pasuk. It says, "Umitz af yotzi dam." What does this mean? Translates as follows: "Squeezings of anger yield blood." Kol tamid shekoyis olav rabo pam rishonu b'shosek. Wow. This is a high level, but the Rebbe gets angry at him, and he's makabel, he tolerates it. even though he's embarrassed, but he tolerates it. Yotzi dam, klomer zochel adas hilchus dam nida la'avchim beidam tomei l'dam tov. He merits to learn to distinguish between blood that is tomei and blood that is tov. And of course, this is a reference to dam nida, the squeezing is of his teaching's anger. You know, his teacher's like squeezing him out of anger, but yet that will lead to proficiency in the laws of dam, in the laws of dam nida. And further, it says in the pasuk, "Umitzapayim yotzi riv." The squeezings of double anger yield dispute. Now the Rebbe again is angry at him, and he still is quiet. Kol Talmid should koisel of Rabbah Pam Rishona Ushnia b'shol's sake. He still remains silent. He's really taking an abusive beating. This could have happened in our Shia. Is Zochel Avchem Beidini Momentus Lundini Nefoshos. Like the pasuk says, Yotzi Riv. Riv is an allusion to Dine Momentus and Dine Nefoshos. The squeezing of his teacher's double anger yield proficiency in laws concerning monetary disputes and capital laws. Hamotzitz es hakas shel rabba v'solo pam rishon u'shnia yotzi riv klomar zochel ahavchim beidini momros ledini nefoshos. Riv is dini momros kiyev riv, as it says in Dvarim. And Unkelus translates as din. Dine momentus are very difficult, even more difficult than dine tumo. Ukidei liskos ladas dine momentus sarf liskaber al kaso shteif ha'omen. Tisnan Rabbi Shmuel Omer arotze shi yischakem yasod v'dine momentus sheim v'cho mektsov v'tor yosumihem sheim kemayon novea. So the study of monetary law, that's the greatest. And they are like a welling fountain. Here's where the Torah gives you license to use your mind at its maximum to try to understand the law. He's called upon to use his intellectual capacity to understand Dini Momenos. And now, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Maidech Siv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Im Navalta Behisnase? It's the pasuk in Mishle. If you shame yourself, you'll be uplifted. V'im Zamosa, but if you muzzle yourself, Yad Lepeh, by covering your mouth with your hand, then that's not going to be good. Is Kol HaMenabel Atzmon Devei Torah? In other words, he asks his Rebbe all his questions, his sfeikos, and even though his friends are laughing at him, nevertheless, Sofo Lisnase, he will be uplifted. He will gain great knowledge. But if he muzzles himself, if he refuses to ask questions, is sofo shiten yad lepeh. At the end, he'll put his hand over his mouth. He won't know how to answer any questions. So the greatest level of a Talmud is when he's going to risk embarrassment for the sake of opening the doors of Torah, for achieving greatness in Torah. So all this ends the discussion of Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of the Achsanya, postin b'chvod Achsanya. Now we get to Pasach, Rabbi Nechemya b'chvod Achsanya, Darsh Maidit Siv, what does the Pasuk mean when Shaul, before he goes out to battle with Amalek in Shmuel Aleph, he says, V'yom Shaul Akeni Lechu Suru Redu Mitoch Amaleki, Peno Sifcha Imo. He gives like a warning to the Keni, and he says to them, go turn away, go down from amongst the Amalekis, Penasivcha ima, lest I destroy with you. In other words, with Amalek I'll destroy you also. Vatos siso chesed im kol bnei Yisrael, and you did a kindness with the children of Israel. And this is going to be the forefather of the Canaan, and that's going to be Yisrael. Now, many years earlier, Yisrael hosted Moshe Rabbeinu with Aaron and the Zikna Yisrael at a feast. And according to Sholomel, this was an act of kindness which was performed basically on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. And accordingly, King Shaul wants to rescue the descendants of Yisrael from the destruction. And he says to Kal v'chomer, L'dvarim Kal v'chomer, Ma Yisrael Shelo Keirev Es Moshe L'chvod Atzmo, that Yisrael, when he created this banquet, it was for his own honor. It was a great covet for Moshe to come to the Suda. And nevertheless, kach, in other words, he sees it, and Sholomel sees it as a great chesed in Klal Yisrael, as Amarech Tamachot Mesof Beso, he who hosts a Torah scholar in his house, umachilu mashkei, feeds him, and he gives him drink, umaneu minachosov, and he gives him to benefit from his possessions. Allah has come, how much more so? It's like Ka'osa Chesed im Kol Yisrael. These are the people who open their homes in Yavne to the Torah scholars of Yavne. Pasuk Rabbi Yossi b'Kvod HaSanya. Now it's Rabbi Yossi's turn. He was the third of these Torah scholars. And he looks at the Pasuk in Kitetze, Los Isayev Adomi. And you should not reject an Edomite, ki achichahu, he is your brother, lo tesayv mitzri, and do not reject an Egyptian, ki gera yisabar tso, you were a sojourner in his land. Mitzrim were an achsanya for Klali. So when Yaakov comes with his children to Mitzrayim, and there's a famine in the land, and in Israel they can't survive, the Egyptians drew Israel close for their own purposes, shenemar, as the pasuk says in Bereishis Mem Zayin, the im yodato v'yeshbam anshei chayil v'samta sorei mikna al asher li. And if you know that there are amongst them men of special strength, then appoint them as officers over the flocks that are mine. So this is Paro's request regarding Yosef and the Ache Yosef. Is kach, and yet we considered Akar Satov that the Mitzrim were hosts for Klal Yisrael, Zamareh Talmud Chacham, so Beso, if he's hosting a Talmud Chacham and he's doing this out of his own desire, you know, L'shem Shemayim, and he gives him food to eat and drink and so forth. How much more so does he deserve our Akar Satov? Pasuk Rabbi Eliezer, Beno Shel Rabbi Yossi Aglil V'Chod Avsanya V'Dorash. So this is about the Aron HaBris. The Aron HaBris was in the house of Oved Edom for 3 months in Shmuel Beis, by Baruch Hashem, and yet for these 3 months, Oved Edom is blessed by Hashem before Aron HaKim because he protected the Aron in his house. Balodvarim Kal v'Chomer, Uma Aron Shelo Achal v'Shasa. Thus, Oved Edom did not have to spend any money to feed the Aron. Elakive v'Ribes, you know, he had to clean up the place Lefanov, make sure to you know, take a broom and clean the floors. But that's about all he had to do. It's Amalor Talmud Chacham Sof Beisu Machilu Mashkeu Minachod Maneu Minachos Velachas Kama Mekama. Much more so. So the Gemara then asks, "Umayi Abrocha Shebircho Hashem Li Oved Edom Om Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida Zoch Hamos Ushmona Kaloseha Sheyoldu Shisha Bekeres Echad." So the blessing was concerning the wife of Oved Edom, and a mother-in-law and her eight daughters-in-law, each of whom gave birth to six sons in a single womb, six tuplets, as we say. Shenemar, and how do we see this? It's on Daf Samad Dalet of an Aleph. Shenemar, the Pasuk says regarding Oved Edom and Divrei Hayomim, it says Pulasai Ashmini, Ki Berchu Elokim, Oved Edom had sons, Shmaya is firstborn, and Yozovad is secondborn, and Pulusi the eighth, for God blessed him. Kol Eilu Bnei Oved, and Oved Edom, Hema Ubneim Ve'acheim, Ish Chayil B'koach La'avod Shishim U'shnayim Li'Oved Edom. So there's a whole calculation here that Oved Edom's offspring totaled 62 sons and grandsons, 8 sons, and then the sextuplets that were born to each of his 8 daughters-in-law, and the sextuplets born to his wife, all told 62 sons and grandsons. Okay, so this is where we'll stop here on the top of Daf, Samad Dalet, Oved Aleph. In the Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll start Masechta Shabbos, Be'ezras Hashem.